Want to welcome everybody to the city council meeting, City of Shore Acres, Monday, February 8th, 2016, 7 p.m. First line of business is roll call, Mr. Stahl.
Alderman Jennings.
Present.
Alderman McCollum. Alderman Schnell.
Present.
Mayor Moses.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem Adams.
Present.
Alderman Wheeler.
Present.
We have a forum.
Thank you, Mr. Stahl. Next line of business is pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor that just flag. I pledge allegiance to New Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
There's no special presentations at this time on item 3.0, so I'm going to move on. Moving on to 4.0, approval of minutes, 4.1, regular council meeting, January the 25th, 2016. If the council's had time to review that, I entertain a motion.
Motion.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Alderman Schnell. Do we have any questions for the council? If none being, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against say nay. The ayes have it. Thank you very much, Council. Moving on to item 5.0, Council reports and requests. 5.1, Mayor Moses. 5.1.1, update on state Highway 146 San Juan progress. It's going up. They did change contractors, the state of Texas did. I've had a little bit of difficulty getting in exactly who the head foreman is out there. Actually, I made a call into someone who was over the whole project at one time, hoping to hear back from him in the morning, but the progress moves on. Since they've changed contractors the last couple of weeks, I guess everybody has noticed the north side's pretty well completed. Now they're on the south side, and they just started it, and they're about, I'd say, almost halfway there. So they're not wasting any time with it being Monday today. So they worked 7 days a week. They were there yesterday also. We are moving forward, although I know this basically is not our property by no means, but our residents that live in Bayou Forest would like to know what's going on with it. So the sound wall is moving up. It is coming along. Hopefully by the end of the week, by Saturday or Sunday, I think they'll have it completed at all the way to the other end on the south side. And we'll see what happens from that point on. That's the minor update on that. Moving on to item 5.1.2 of community interest. At this time, I don't really have much to put in there other than my understanding. Chili cook-off, I went by early in the morning before it really kicked off. I was out the rest of the day working, but my understanding went very well. It was a good turnout, so I'm very glad to see that. We thank the citizens of Shore Acres and people from our surrounding area that came out. We thank you very much. Moving on to item 6.0, pardon my voice, public hearings and public comments. 6.1, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address the council or comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are to be directed to the city council. Dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law to participate in discussion, deliberation, or items thus identified on the agenda. With that being said, anybody would like to step up to the podium, give your name and address. You're welcome to speak. I'll start, I guess, this way.
I'm Neil Moyer. I live on North Country Club Drive. I'd like to speak on four agenda items, 8.2, 8.3, 8.5, 8.6. In regard to item 8.2, as I've said in the past, I think it would be imprudent for the city to be giving away tax revenues that it clearly needs and demands on its revenues are going to be greater in the future than they've ever been. With regard to the proposal 8.3, with regard to dealing with the immediate sewer issue on West Country Club, I think we have some serious problems here that really shouldn't be kicked down the road. There were no contingency funds in the budget for this year to deal with these sorts of events, which we know occur routinely. I'm not sure there would have been enough in here for this project, but there was nothing at all. In any case, I think also the means for paying for whatever way the city seeks to obtain funding for this capital repair as well as two other ones, the 3,000-foot line between pump stations under Highway 146 and the water tower, which will not be fixed with Bondo and Rust-Oleum. But I think it would be better that there be a more comprehensive approach to financing these and not take them one at a time. I realize time is of essence on the West Country Club sewer. I think the cost of this should be borne by each property in the city. This would mean better than just having it as strictly an increase in the sewer rates, but it would be a property surcharge. I don't think this should be rolled into the tax base. I think then it would be competing with other items in the budget every year, and we'd be going through the struggle of every year to pay for our past obligations. Item 8.5, authorizing the acceptance of credit cards and debit cards. It appears that this proposal will not impose any additional financial charges on the city, with the intent that there be an up to 5% fee. I hope this works out. I hope people don't use this as an excuse for holding off paying their fees and then blaming it on the credit card company. And finally, on the last item, 8.6, I'm very loath to put city financial records on the internet. Our internet, we know, is not secure. I think, if anything, this could be put into the council's packets, just as, for example, the invoices are presently shared amongst members of the council. I think those could be a spreadsheet of those items could be part of the council packet too. But I don't think putting information up on the internet is necessarily a boon, and I think the excuse that other people do it and are happy with it is really not germane to this community. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Moyer.
Anyone else in the back row? Please, ma'am.
Darling Bay, 616 Baywood. I didn't think we had a public works director position open, but it came to my attention that it's posted on the website, which, you know, okay. But after reading through it under skills, knowledge, and abilities, the last sentence, and I'll take it from just at the end, the ability to deal tactfully with the sometimes hostile public. Now, I'm looking around. I see friends. I see citizens. I don't see hostile public. And this was posted back on 2/17 of 14. And since we don't have a public works director position open, I don't understand why it's still there. And I surely don't understand the wording hostile public. Is anybody reading that, ever thinking about coming here, might give a second opinion of us. So, that's it.
Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else that wants to speak? Okay. We'll take the petition to step forward. We appreciate it. Moving on to item 7.0, administrative reports. 7.1, general activity reports. City Administrator David Saul.
Good evening. 7.1.1, the SCADA, which is the Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition System for our, mostly for our water and wastewater. We have other things on there. As you know, Water Plant 2 was struck by lightning during storms that we had a few months ago now, and damaged our radio equipment there, as well as some of the other controls. That work has been done. That's been replaced. Some other programming errors from the original installation were corrected. We had a very good firm that came out and did that work. They moved the central repeater programming from this building to Water Plant 2, which greatly improved our communications. They also made repairs at lift station number 1 and evaluated lift station number 2, and no repairs were required there. They did recommend a couple of changes, that we take the omnidirectional antenna that we have here at City Hall and move it to water plant 2 on the tower, and also elevate it about another 30 feet up on the tower to improve our communications through the dense trees that we have between our sites. And that we take the, we can use the same antennas, we just move them. We take the Yagi antenna that we have at Water Plant 2 and move it to City Hall and point it in that direction. Interestingly enough, the radio equipment at Water Plant Number 1, which was aimed here at City Hall, has been moved. It's in a blind spot behind the generator. And so they moved it, and it reflects off the side of the Public Works Building, which is metal. And we have a very, very nice signal to the water tower by bouncing it off that building. So we're not going to have any expense there. In an ideal world, we might raise that above the canopy over there and point it to the water tower. But frankly, in the position it's at, it's got better lightning protection being under the metal canopy as long as we have a solid signal. So we're back up and running. Did not pursue the recommendations that they had for moving those antennas and extending the feed line at Water Plant 2, strictly as a cost consideration. We put it on our list for potential improvements in the future that would give us a little better signal in the system if we ever have a problem. Right now, I'm not looking to spend any money. And that's all I have on the SCADA repair. Well, I will say, we do have an insurance claim pending for the lightning damage. We're looking for the majority of that cost to be reimbursed from insurance. Item 7.1.2, the gateway sign status. I know that our gateway video sign has been in continuous operation and to all the world appear to be functioning. It's been running a long program for several years now. Changed by the day of the week and time of the day. Those on council are aware that it has been a little over a year since we've been able to program the sign. And so the program that was in there about 18 months ago has been running continuously for 18 months. Part of the work that we had the same firm do is to address the issue of getting the sign on our SCADA wide area network, radio network. They did that. They moved the antenna, they replaced the radio, and they got the sign online. What that means is in prior to 18 months ago, the sign was on a temporary Wi-Fi system, which required taking a laptop from City Hall, driving out to the sign, parking near it, and then loading the programming into it. The intent of the sign when it was purchased and put in with grant funds was that all that programming could occur here from City Hall, and it could be used for emergency messages in addition to the display that's out there. So now that has been accomplished, and the software, which has been installed here for about 3.5 years, was able to be used. Something I didn't quite anticipate was that when we did a refresh for the first time with the software here, it erased all the programming and all the images off the sign. And so it went dark for the first time ever. We programmed to put the time on it and for about several hours on the day that they did it, it displayed the time and then put together graphics for the chili cook-off. And if you've driven by it in the week before the chili cook-off, it was chili cook-off all the time. And when the chili cook-off ended, there's a base batch of programming that I put on there, and so it's rotating through some images. It will take none of the images. All the images were able to be migrated from the laptop to our network server. The only thing we lost was the scheduling, so it'll be a little bit slow process of rebuilding it, but the sign now is available to us to use for emergency messages and other significant events. And I know that the Yacht Club is looking forward to having some of their national regatta information on there again, as we had done in the past. So real pleased to have the gateway sign finally functional from there. Any questions on the gateway sign? Item 7.1.3, city election. I want to bring to your attention that filing is open for the city election. Last day to file for a place on the ballot is at 5 p.m. on Friday, February 19th. I strongly suggest anyone who's interested in filing for office to do so before that date, because if you do that at the last in the last hours. If there's an error on the application, the error cannot be corrected after 5 p.m. and you may not appear on the ballot if there's a defect in the application. There's a revised application form. It's available on the website, available at City Hall. We currently have two candidates for mayor and two candidates for the open position of alderman. Those candidates are on the city's website, and I endeavor to get them on the same day that someone files for office, so you can keep up with that. And that's all I have on the city's election schedule.
Mayor Moses, I have a question.
Yes, sir, Mr. Jennings.
Mr. Stahl, on February the 19th, you mentioned that it can't be corrected after 5 p.m. Obviously, we close City Hall at noon that day. Will somebody be working?
We will not close City Hall at noon that day. We'll hold City Hall will be open until 5 o'clock.
Thank you.
And applications can be received by email or the PDF or by fax or in person or by the mail. But if they arrive here after 5 o'clock, then they can't be accepted.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Stahl. Moving on to item 7.2, Murfreesboro Police Department report, Chief Harrison.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. I know you've received the report. It looks much like the other month's reports. There's no numbers that that jump out at you. At least not on my side, there's not. I want to bring one thing to your attention under the violation of city ordinance. Just because there's a small number of four there, that is not the number of active processes I have going on. That's just four that I checked out on the radio on. There's a lot more that goes on in a month. City ordinances, there's probably four on one day last week. But that just happens to be a number that, that dispatch puts down. Those calls go, some of them may go into assist by law enforcement agencies. So I don't want you to ever look at that and think that that's all that's going on in much time for code enforcement, because it's much heavier than that. Had a chance to visit with folks from San Jac College this morning. They were very happy with the services being provided to them under the contract that was signed in January. We're getting through that property numerous times a day. It's not taking us away from anything in our city. It's simple drive-throughs with a walk-through here and there. Last Monday we were supposed to all go eat there, but we got word that the first day's food wasn't going to be good, so we held off on that. But we've been invited back, so we're going to go eat. But that that program's working really well. The admiral over there, the guy that's actually in charge of the building, he calls us shipmates. And if you've been in the Navy, you know to be called a shipmate, so that's a good thing. As a Marine, I was never called a shipmate until I met the admiral. I was called other things, but never shipmate. But the admiral loves us. He's taking good care of us when we walk in over there. He normally gets up out of his desk and walks around with us. We've got off to a great start with San Jac College. I hope that's long. I hope that's a long-standing tradition and something we do for a long time with them. Also, Lovelace, many of you know Mr. Lovelace. He's not been here very long, only a couple of years, but he's retiring at the end of January, or I'm sorry, the end of February. Even though he's only been with us a short time, he's been a police officer an awful long time. And he's been very beneficial to me as I've tried to bring training, the training of the department, well above standards. And Mr. Lovelace was an adjunct instructor at Lone Star College for many, many years. He was a very good police instructor. And he's helped a lot in getting these officers training that they need and bringing them up to a standard that's well above what the state requires. All the officers qualified last week and today. Everybody can still shoot. That's a good thing. We have to qualify once a calendar year, and it takes a little bit of time to do that because we have to go to South Houston to do it. But we were able to accomplish that. We finished it up today. All full-time and part-time officers have been qualified, and currently have two backgrounds open on new applicants to fill Mr. Lovelace's spot, along with one more reserve spot that's been open for a while.
Any questions from the council for the chief?
Yeah, what was your group size?
Mine was nickel at 3 yards.
Thank you, chief. We greatly appreciate it. We're glad to hear Sam Jackson.
That's good, chief. We'll go sometime.
Moving on to item 7.4, monthly voting question. report, Mr. Stahl.
Yeah, you have four pages of the Public Works report in your packet memorandum. There's a productivity. We did 40 yards of recycling last month, or no, 4 miles of ditch line. And we have some other distractions, unfortunately. The grass is growing slow this time of year. Also, the monthly flushing report for January, and very few water leaks, which is a good thing. In the water leak department, we have a line that needs to be replaced on the east side of the city. Between Forest and Meadow Lawn, between Sunrise and Miramar, and we have been getting quotes for doing that work, and we're now making an evaluation whether the line should be replaced in the rear easement where it was installed in the 1930s, or we should move the 7 properties that are served by that line connections to the front of the property and put them on a new PVC, much larger and better line. Which is across the street, so that will require some what we call long side taps going under the street. That would be done in pairs, so that wouldn't necessarily be 7 lines under the street, but it might be 4 or 5, depending on the spacing of those properties, and we're now looking at that. I would also point out, it's not in the written report, and I'm going to ask that it be incorporated in the future, just so council has a little better idea of ongoing maintenance issues. This isn't really particularly unusual, except for we've kind of had them all at one time. We operate a large number of wastewater lift station pumps and water plant boosters, and the wastewater pumps are, we usually replace 1 or 2 every year, and we don't make a big deal of that because it's kind of a routine operation. But I am asking that it be put in the monthly report so that you know where those issues are at. Water plant number 1, which is our new water plant, we have one booster pump that has electrical load issues. The pump itself had had some issues, and I think that caused damage to the breaker circuit there, which is a large bus bar service, and we've been losing that pump periodically, which has been causing us some pressure problems, particularly in the early in the morning. So we're addressing that. At lift station number 1, which is near the railroad tracks on the far side of 146, there's 2 large 25 horsepower submersible pumps there that handle all of the wastewater for the entire city. One of those pumps is out of service. It's been pulled. It either needs to be rebuilt or replaced, and we're evaluating what to do on that one. We, of course, would like to get a second pump in there. Only one pump runs at a time, but when you're down to one pump, it kind of leaves you exposed. Lift station number 2, which is at Taylor Bio, we also have a pump out there, a much smaller pump, but it does carry everything that is east of Taylor Bio in the city, and that pump has been pulled, and it will have to be replaced, and we're shopping for that. Also, that lift station, the Ethernet hub on the SCADA system has failed, and our contractor that did the original SCADA installation is exploring whether that's under warranty or not, and we're certainly happy if it's under warranty, but it does have to be replaced. It's been ordered, and installation of that is pending, and that will put us back in coordinated controls on that lift station. And that's the Public Works report.
Thank you, Mr. Stahl. Questions from the council?
Yes. Mr. Stahl, just a clarification on the, you said the water line replacements on the Forest Sunrise area. Are those service lines, not a main? Those are service lines going to the residents?
Yes. Yeah, we have the old system, which I believe was 1932, is 1.5 and 2 inch and some 2.5 inch lines. We have a 2 inch galvanized line in the back easement, and it's like a soaker hose now, more than a pipe. And that's where the meters are at, and we'd like to move those meters out in the front yards and go under the street and tap into there's a 6 inch or a 4 inch available to us there, PVC line. Get much better pressure and water service for those customers, and forever remove those leaks in the backyards.
Barbara Jennings?
Oh, yes.
Anybody else? All right.
Moving on to item 8.0, business, going to 8.1, consideration approval invoices. If the council's had time to approve the invoices, I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to pay the bills.
Thank you, Alderman Adams. And a second?
Second.
Alderman Schmidt. Any questions from the council? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against say nay. The ayes have it. Moving on to item 8.2. Consideration action to take from the table ordinance number 2015-191, ordinance number 2016-191, for consideration action to grant a 20% resident homestead exemption effective for the 2016 tax year and each subsequent tax year. Alderman Snell put this on the agenda last meeting. She's out ill. She's here this evening. She has requested to move it. I believe you wanted to leave it off of it until after.
Until we get
this
sewer situation, and then just go ahead and take it off, and if any of my colleagues want to put it back on next meeting, they're more than welcome to.
Mayor Moses?
Yes, sir.
I had emailed Mr. Stahl. I wanted this on the agenda.
Okay. So
and he said that it was already going to be on there.
Okay. Well, it is on the agenda. We have to ask for a motion then. I'm correct. I asked for a motion. It has to be seconded.
To take it from the table.
Take it from the table. Okay. So we're going to ask for a motion at this time.
I'll make a motion to take from the table.
Thank you, Mr. Alderman James. Okay. Is there a second?
I will second for discussion.
Okay. We have a second. Any questions?
I don't believe it's debatable.
It's not. We don't have to take a vote, too?
You have to take a vote
for that, if I'm correct. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against?
Aye.
Aye.
Or say nay, please.
Nay.
Nay. So you have 2-2. That means I'm the tiebreaker?
Yes, sir.
We have two ayes and two nays at this time, correct, Mr. Stahl?
That's correct.
Okay. I'm going to nay at this time. Motion dies. Moving on to item 8.3, discussion, consideration, action to authorize the mayor to pursue approximately $300,000 in general obligation and water and sewer system revenue bonds credit with the term of 7 years at an interest rate of 3.220 for the purpose of paying for repairs in the city's water and sewer system. Mr. Stahl.
Yeah, this evening is really just a discussion item. We don't have an action to bring for a motion, but I do want to update council on where we are, and council may in fact take some action this evening for direction. Previously, I discussed about our effort to see if there was a program available to us, including from the Texas Water Development Board, in addition to the infrastructure fund, which is also separate. There was not anything that we were eligible for. We are eligible for a low interest loan, but it is a minimum 6 to 9 month process to get that. And what we have contemplated here is emergency work. We certainly don't want to wait that long. So we looked at conventional financing. We reached out to Wells Fargo, who is the city's banking relation. They put us with their government division, and they talked about something that they could close in 30 days so that we could start construction or rehabilitation repair of the sewer line in question where we have the collapse on West Country Club. Out of that, they sent us a term sheet, which is confidential, proprietary of Wells Fargo's, but it is in the council packet for your review. That's been under review by myself, the city attorney, and then subsequently a financial advisor. We think there may be some mixing of terms with Wells Fargo. Today I got some references and recommendations for a finance attorney or bond lawyer that we are not, despite what the sheet says, the mixed terms are, it's a 7 year note that they have in the sheet. Those are in the agenda, that it's 7 years and the interest rate of 3.2%. They did call it in their term sheet a bond, a general obligation bond. We do not believe that's what it really is. We're now going back to the bank. We believe that what they have quoted us there is actually called a certificate of obligation, which is different than a bond, although some do call it a bond. It is an instrument that can be done by counsel to a maximum of 7 years. That's the legal maximum for a certificate of obligation. And that is technically under the law called a tax and revenue certificate of obligation. The structure of that is council can act and publish a notice of intent, publish actually in the newspaper once a week for 2 weeks, and 30 days after the first publication, then you can move forward and issue that certificate of obligation. The purpose of the publishing and the waiting period is to allow time for citizens, taxpayers, to petition to have that certificate of obligation be placed on a ballot and put on an election ballot. That would be problematic on an emergency type use just because of a timing issue and also the cost. A single issue election would cost us approximately $11,000 to do that. There is another instrument there, which is also a certificate of obligation, and it's an INS tax, and that one does not require the publishing and the waiting period. In lieu of that, it requires review and approval by the Attorney General. The Attorney General can sign off on that, and it also is a 7-year note. But the Attorney General approval also takes about 30 days. But it doesn't present the same impediments. So how do we make an emergency repair if we can't do the bond or the debt that quickly? There is another avenue open to us, and it's called a reimbursement resolution. And that would be if we have the funds to accomplish the work, which we do. We have currently cash on hand, not in the checking account, but in text pool and our certificates of deposit. We have $884,000, a little more than $884,000 today that is not required for cash flow. Then with a reimbursement resolution, that resolution says that these funds are appropriated and will be paid back from future borrowing. That resolution also preserves the status of that note that's sold as being a tax exempt or tax-free municipal instrument, which is important on getting lower tax rate or lower interest rates. That would allow us to immediately contract out the work, and then when the borrowing is accomplished, to pay ourselves back. Of course, you would ask the question, why would you borrow money if you have the money? Part of that's a cash flow issue, and the other is with this particular failure that we had, we were fortunate in that we were able to go out and bypass pump and have no disruption of our utilities whatsoever. There are other types of failures that we could have that would be much more costly to have a rapid restoration, and we would certainly want to make sure we have enough money in the bank to go out and do that so that we don't disrupt our utilities. It also allows us to structure it out in time. All that said, in meetings and discussions with the financial advisors that occurred today, his suggestion was that we renegotiate or continue to negotiate with Wells Fargo and add an anytime call option to what they're proposing. The anytime call option would allow us to, in essence, refinance or refund that note. So that, because one of the things that comes into play is we know that in the future, whether it's near or midterm, we're going to have to build a water tower, and we're not going to pay cash for the water tower,
And so there will be additional debt. If we get the anytime call option in this agreement, that would allow us that when we do the financing, whatever the mechanism is, whether it is low interest water development board funding, which I think is the direction that, that we're currently headed, we would be able then to pay off this note and roll it into that. Under that debt, you stretch to 20 years. And that would greatly improve our cash flow to have all of that move into a 20-year direction. So the question is, there are several questions. One of the questions is, do we continue to pursue financing the $300,000 portion of this repair and rehabilitation, or do we pay cash and suck that up and take that hit to our unbudgeted reserve, or do we pursue the financing and pursue that with a reimbursement resolution which would allow us to use our existing funds to get the immediate work done and then pay ourselves back when we borrow. Or the third option is to wait until we borrow the funds and do the work. Of course, my recommendation would be that we continue to move forward on borrowing funds, trying to get the best rate that we can. Timing may or may not allow us to get additional competitive quotes on interest rates, but that we do that with both the pre-reimbursement resolution and the any-time call option, so that we keep all of our future options open, and that we can also come back with a contract and get that repair work done before we have any additional failures on that line.
David, you're saying a bond attorney has not looked over the paperwork, though, yet. That's what we're seeking, correct?
That's correct. A bond attorney would advise us on the instruments there and represent the city and make sure that the city is doing it according to the law. The bank will have its own third-party attorney, which we will pay, who will prepare the actual loan documents.
I'll start down here in the far left with Alderman Jennings' question, sir.
Lots of them. We might be here a while. First off, let's go back to the project itself. Mr. Stahl, at the last meeting, two times you stated that we could avoid the competitive bidding process. Why are you against that?
I'm against the process, going through the process of competitive bidding because of the timing impact. That would require about a 45-day process to get to the point where you can award the bid, and then another as many as 10 to 15 days before we could execute a contract. And so we're talking almost 2 months before we can start work. The alternatives that that I suggested are two different government vehicles where the bidding has already been done. It's been put out for bid by the Houston-Galveston Area Council or by the Buy Board, which is a cooperative government purchasing program. And in both cases, contractors have bid on doing work on a time and material basis, and the lowest acceptable bid has been accepted into that program, and that qualifies for having gone out for bid.
But are those bids specific to this project?
Those bids are specific to the type of work that this project involves.
So they're not specific to this project?
No.
I'm curious, the reason we have saved money is so that we could pay for it in times like this and not go into debt. We have money in the bank, as you've said many times. I mean, I'm the one saying we need to save more. You say we don't. Why wouldn't we just pay for this and get it done? It's been well over 60 days now.
That's not my call.
Okay. Why haven't we brought it up before? Why don't we just do it and fix it? I mean, I go by there every day. It's at the end of my street. And the people that live in that area say the smell is horrendous. I haven't talked to a single resident that wants us to go into debt over this. I may not have talked to everybody, but I haven't talked to a single one. So I'm just saying to other members of council, we should just pay for this. We have the money. Pay it, get on, and get on with it. And then if we need a water tower, which is not proven at any stretch of the imagination, then we can deal with that and do a comprehensive project around the city, issue bonds that we may have to. I mean, honestly, we may have to. There are some infrastructure problems here, but we can do it comprehensively and know what we're doing and you know, get this emergency thing behind us. That's all I have.
The only point I have something that Mr. Jones does make a very good point. That something that bothers me that I want to throw out there, is that if we spend this money, we're looking about, what, 330? 300?
About 300,000.
And a while ago you had mentioned in the report we're looking at pipes back from 1932. Now, that's a very low expenditure, probably, what, $10,000-$15,000 for repair, like pipes and whatnot, something of that nature. Where our goal with this is, what bothers me, this is an old city. So if we spend that money, and God forbid, but all of a sudden you call me up the next day and we have a big blowout, where's that money going to come from? Then we're right back to where we're sitting right now. I mean, I don't like spending money every week. I know that's costing us money. I think it's somewhere around $1,000 a week or so for that pump being out there. Just, it tends to scare me when you get that low, but there's a wait time either way. You sort of get snap food there. So, but I understand Alderman Jennings' point too. But I'm just, go ahead, Ms. Snell. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I know that when this first was discussed by council, you know, we discussed hopefully getting some grant money and free money. You know, we also discussed, you know, maybe a manhole to manhole. Did we ever get a number on that? Just the manhole to manhole number, and what was that?
I don't have that in front of me.
Okay. And then my other question would be, I do tend to agree with Alderman Jennings, if we do have the money in reserves, and that's kind of what it's there for, emergencies, would there be some way to maybe not have to finance the whole thing through a loan to lessen the actual loan burden? Let's just say split it in half to $150,000 out of our rainy day fund, our savings, and then finance another $150,000. That way, in case you have to make that dreaded phone call to the mayor, there is something at least a little bit more substantial there. Would that be feasible? And is that something the council would be interested in doing?
You can certainly do that. The $300,000. I mean, you can split it any way that you want to do that. All or nothing, or anything in between.
Really, council decisions.
Right. That's all I have.
I would say we had talked about the one segment, manhole to manhole.
Yeah.
But we've already evaluated that line from Shorty's Boulevard to the water tower. It doesn't go to the water tower. Sewer doesn't connect to the water tower, but that's where the manhole's at.
Right.
And the next segment has no top in it at all. It's just a dirt top, and it is at high risk of failure.
A lot of times when I look at situations like this, I think about my own personal life, and if I have a car repair, it's $800, and in savings I have $1,000, then I'm going to spend the $800 in savings and hope to recoup that, fill it back in, instead of going out and getting a loan with an interest, because I presume at 3.2 we're talking $9,000 worth of interest. And we do have the money in the bank, and you know, if it was my bank, I'd go ahead and just pay it, and rather than get a loan and be tacking on interest, so just get it done.
Alderman Wheeler,
I completely understand Alderman Jennings' concern about getting this done right away. I think. You mentioned one option of go ahead and using our funds to pay for this up front, and then this reimbursement loan of whatever it was. My biggest concern about using all the funds necessary to do this repair out of our
savings or whatever is, and David touched on this, I guess, in the last council meeting, the line going under 146 that is in no better shape, really, age-wise, than all the other sewer lines that we have in here. If we deplete those funds and now we have an actual emergency, that one sewer line carries everything from the city out to that lift station and beyond. And so now you're looking at another possible emergency and you don't have any funds in reserve. My preference in this would be to go ahead and use the funds that we have to make the repairs, do this reimbursement loan, whatever it was, resolution, so that we recoup those funds and have them there for the next emergency. We're going to pay some interest, but as every one of us are quite aware, we have very old infrastructure here, and if we don't use some common sense, then we wind up going out and not having the funds available in case we really do have an emergency. We can look at bond money for later projects or whatever, grant money, but right now we have repairs that have to be made, and I think that would be my choice anyway.
Well, David, right now, after listening to three of the aldermen, two of the aldermen and one alderman, it sounds to me like they want to move forward with it. So, with that being said, do you put this, how we go about the legal aspect? It's not on the agenda to vote for it. We can't just give an approval. We have to vote for it, correct?
Let me make a comment and then recap.
All right, let's recap.
See if I got this right. The comment I would make is that when we look at our unbudgeted fund balance or reserves, there are a couple things there that I think we should maintain as a minimum. Three components. One component is 4 months of operating expenses. We should always maintain in reserve 4 months of operating. So if some catastrophic event occurs and we lose our revenue stream, that we can continue to operate. Another is about $400,000. It's very, not really subjective, but it is speculative of how much you really need. But I'd say $400,000 for storm recovery funds. When we got hit with Ike, and there isn't any reason next year we can't get hit with another Ike, we had to front $417,000 for debris removal off the streets. Now, that was reimbursed by FEMA, but if we did not have $417,000 to do that, to keep the contractor working, they would have pulled off and gone to other communities that were ready to pay. And having the ability to do that was of tremendous value to Shore Acres. So I would strongly recommend that we keep $400,000 for storm recovery. And then the third element is a product of what we're talking about right now, is that we don't have any debt. And at the point that we do issue bonds, we need to have some reserves that we can use to offset for some short period of years the addition of the additional tax load for debt service. When you do issue a bond, a general obligation bond, the payment on that bond, it's on the ballot, goes right to an INS portion of a property tax. And when you vote to pass a bond, you're voting to pay the additional tax. That can be structured into existing debt in most cities. Since we have no existing debt, it would all go immediately to the tax rate, and that would be a big hit. And if you have 25% of your tax revenue or 20% of your tax revenue is a set aside in your reserves, you can use that to take 3 or 5 years to get to the full load so that your taxpayers don't get hit with an all of a sudden increase. That said, and looking at what we currently have as unbudgeted reserves, that leaves us with about $150,000 to comfortably expend. So I would recommend that we, as Alderman Schnell says, you know, if at most split the baby and pay $150 and borrow $150. I don't have my copy, but you all have a copy of the term sheet. And as will be the case with all of these types of instruments, there is a minimum dollar of the loan. Nancy, do you see that in there?
Yeah, I think it's
250. 225, 250. So the $250,000. Now, this is also interesting. This is not like buying a car. If you were to do one of these certificates of obligation and you got $300,000 or $250,000, it has to be spent on water and sewer, but it doesn't have to be spent. So you can sit on it and use it to make the payments, and you can, and if you have a call option, you can also use it to refund it as soon as you're past the point where you don't need money. So what I heard was that it's the consensus of council at this point to contract and bring back a contract to make the immediate repair and get the line repaired. I didn't hear it directly addressed, but I will speculate that the intent would be to do it in the scope that we had talked about, which was the $300,000, which would take us from Short Acres Boulevard north to the end, and that we also do a reimbursement resolution at that time we do that. Now, I would tell you my understanding of a reimbursement resolution, and I will confirm all this, but my understanding is a reimbursement resolution does not obligate us to go out and get a loan. It is a document that preserves the tax-exempt status of that loan or that instrument if it's issued. So we can do a reimbursement resolution, we can contract for the repair of the line, and we still have the opportunity to decide whether or not we want to go out and do one of these other obligations. In the meantime, we'll have that line repaired and save another failure, then we'll be back where we were last October before all this started.
And that will allow us to stop the proverbial bleeding of funds with the pumps running and all of that, and those poor people that live right there having to smell and deal with that.
How long a process would this take to get all this done, David?
Because we are able to use one of the pre-bid options, I think we can have that here for council's consideration of the next council meeting. It will take about 2 weeks to get all the paperwork together and to get the reimbursement resolution drafted by a lawn lawyer. And if it can be done sooner than that, then call a special meeting and get it done and get that work going.
Alderman Jennings, how's it sound to you? You're going to get on the line.
I'm trying to be tactful here, honestly. And I don't know how else to say it other than it is amazing to sit here and listen to Mr. Stahl now talk about saving the reserve funds after I've been telling for 5 years that you can't spend the reserve funds on daily operating expenditures. And now we're in this position. So I, like I said, I'm trying to be tactful, and I'm not going to say a whole lot more than that, but certainly I'm not for borrowing money to put into savings. That is just... I've never even heard of such a thing.
Understood.
that's tough to digest, David. It really is.
I'm
just saying. I'm being as tactful as I can.
I wasn't advocating that. I'm just saying there is a minimum amount that you can borrow.
No, but you were saying now that we need to protect the reserves. Two, 3 meetings ago, all during the budget. You keep saying we don't have reserves. Tonight you've used reserves 4 or 5 times, and you've also used unbudgeted fund balances.
And I'm just saying, you've criticized us, those of us that have criticized you in the past, you've criticized us for bothering to bring that up. And now today you say, oh, we can't spend it. We need 4 months for this. We need $400,000 for that. And that leaves us $150,000. Well, here's another option. We have $165,000 in capital expenditures. Have those been made yet?
Some have.
Well, they haven't shown up on your financial report, so whatever hasn't been made, we could use those. And we could also cut city spending, saying, okay, we know there's a problem, and we can make this work. I see no reason at all to go into debt for this. Okay, I'm done, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Alder Snow, you tell me if you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Is that the form of a motion?
We have a motion on the floor?
The motion to, this would be what, correct?
Direct the city administrator to begin work in process on the obligation of the water and the sewer system on the revenue bond. Would that be, what would be the best way to
do that? Well, I was looking for a motion for council to proceed with contracting for repair of the line
repair.
And preparation repair. Of reimbursement resolutions. Spit just those there. Two things.
So moved.
Okay. We have a second.
I'll second.
I think we've had plenty of discussion. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those against say nay.
Nay.
Okay. Ayes have it.